delete over his shit.
No, I'm not recording him. He's fine.
We're recording?
Yeah, go for it, dude.
Alright.
That's pretty good.
Making me feel.
Okay. Welcome to the Hijinks and Sue podcast. This should be episode number 9, I want to say.
Sounds right.
And I'm touching you.
Touching me.
Touching you.
Touch you.
Yeah, that's great.
I believe in a thing called love.
All right. Episode number 9, Hijinks 2 podcast. Back with the as close to regular crew as we have. Joel is me. Eli is here.
Hello.
Josh is back.
I have returned from the land of the gays.
And we're all, you have not returned from there?
Did you drop the ring in the mountain?
Yeah, no, I...
Take that however you want to take that.
You bring that, wow. You bring that land with you wherever you go.
Yeah, I know. It follows me.
It's like a bubble of gay around you.
Yes.
And unmiked in the studio, the star of last week is Denise.
Hi.
Yeah, you can all
she's eating cookies.
She's hanging out, eating cookies, eating Taco Bell.
She's eating my nachos because I decided I did not want them.
Because they weren't food.
I didn't think you let girls eat your nachos.
Wow.
He's actually here
you
this time.
You have fun with that, Denise.
He's swish. Here this time, so do we just keep it up? I mean...
Swish for the win.
Yeah.
And just fucking bring it.
Hey, I'm going to carry a guitar around with me, and every once in a while I want you to go, guitar!
And then you can just knock over the old woman next to you and start jamming like...
And fucking rock her ass. She won't even know. Yeah. That's great how the intro music somehow gets louder as we talk more. You guys are talking too much. Let me crank up this jam. Turn that shit down. All right, so this episode of the Hijinks and Sue podcast, we're going to do This Week in Internet. We're going to have the return of the mail sack. And we are also going to have an interview with Jonathan Riley. Jonathan Riley is a man who owns a house. A very special
house. A man
with
a dream.
Very enthralling description.
Very special house. The house is a mad scientist lair, and Joss Whedon recorded moving things
right.
For Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, which we've talked about on the site a couple of times. They actually went to this guy's house and filmed. NPH was there. Nathan Fillion was not there. Joss Whedon was there. So we'll play that later. Interview with Jonathan Riley. And then whatever else the hell we talk about.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Sweet.
Fuck yeah. So right off into This Week in Internet. This Week in Internet. I don't know. What's up?
What up, Internet?
What up, dog? What up, Internet? What up, Internet? How you doing? So I'm gonna put some of these links on the show notes here. Toys R Us has a vending machine that sells tramp stamps for little girls.
That's so beautiful.
It actually shows lower back tattoos.
Nothing new to me. Next story.
Next. I've been wearing these for years on my taint.
I've been buying toy cock rings from Toys R Us for years.
You buy those little gel silicon rings with like flowers and just stretch them over your dick. No. Yeah, so they've got little tramp stamps that, I don't know, they say like aim here or something.
They don't actually say that.
And they're right next to
it. But it's got the little giraffe from like Toys R Us. You know?
Yeah, it's Jeffrey, and he's like got his mouth wide open, and he's like
aim here.
Shoot for me, guys. Jeffrey says, aim here. Next to Hannah Montana stickers, which I don't know which is more offensive. I'd probably rather my daughter have a tramp stamp tattoo than a fucking Miley Cyrus bullshit. Oh, my God. So have we all in this room seen the most recent South Park?
Yes.
No.
Okay, so many titties.
F you.
Go ahead.
Oh, no,
go.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Whatever.
Not that one.
Oh,
I mean, the Britney one.
The Britney Spears one.
Yes.
What? Oh, yeah, no. I have also seen that, but
okay,
Eli
so,
has
no.
not.
Eli, you just get to lose, whatever.
I don't know.
So
ahead.
Britney Spears, whatever. The episode is about how the media must destroy her.
because she is a sacrifice. And so they, the paparazzi follow her and they destroy her. At the end of the episode, spoiler if you haven't seen it, Britney's dead and they move on to Miley Cyrus. Okay, no shit, the next day on thesuperficial.net, we're talking about how the paparazzi is no longer following Britney Spears, they're following Miley Cyrus.
Wow.
Awesome.
So
those guys are fucking timely.
It's official. Trey Parker and Matt Stone are writing the future. They have the power.
They're going to kill Hannah Montana.
Yes. They have like an opposite of the book from Neverending Story to where like they write with a quill pen and then events just start happening. Whatever.
I saw them on the Peabody Awards. They were showing something about Battlestar and they were on there talking about that the only good that the Peabodys is to Matt and Trey is that it introduced them to Battlestar. Because Battlestar won like a Peabody.
What's the Peabodys?
Exactly.
Oh.
That's exactly the point. They were like,
shit that nobody knows
they're
about.
Like, we won a Peabody. And they were like, what the hell's a Peabody?
Like the Dick Face Choice Awards or something?
Pretty much.
Something
but like then that. They were like, oh shit, Battlestar's here. Then what the hell's Battlestar? And that was it. So
I'm also going to put a link to the fact that Rick Astley got interviewed about Rickrolling by the LA Times.
Beautiful.
Which I actually haven't read or watched. I don't even know if it's a video or not. But
I thought that guy died.
First off, he hasn't aged. He has not aged. He was 14 when he made this song, and he's 13 now. Like 40 years later. It's only been like 20 years, but whatever. Yeah. He is a timeless, some sort of elf mutant creature.
He has elvish, like, blood.
Yeah, he's a half elf.
I don't know what makes elvishes.
Elvishes?
What?
Elvis?
Elvis?
Elvises?
Elvis? Elvis was Elvish?
Elvi?
What do they have that keeps them going forever? Elvish juices?
Yeah, their juices are special. Tingly. That's how you know it's working. They have swords.
So their version of AIDS
swords.
Could...
George!
Then Elvish AIDS could cure all mankind.
What are you talking about? I'm cutting your mic. Okay, this is a really good one. This is just...
Next.
Effing-tastic. So they're making a movie called W about Texas's greatest son.
Oh, God, why?
W.
I already want to kill myself.
Guess who's directing?
Please tell me it's Michael Moore. Please tell me.
Try again.
Oh, wait,
Michael
it.
Bay?
Try again. Nope.
No,
try again.
Michael Moore.
Summer. W.
Sean Connery as
W.
Dick Cheney.
We've got our invader Ryan. Yeah, whatever. No, James.
Careful with what you shoot in here. Some things don't react well to bullets.
What are you talking about?
Red October.
Oh,
come on.
You always have
boo.
Eli quotes Red October like it's like the fucking South Park movie or something. Like everyone's just gonna know the obscure lines from Red October. He's like, what? That's from Sense and Sensibility. Come on. Anybody?
One ping, Priscilla. One ping only.
I hate you so much.
What? Yeah, that's from An Officer and a Gentleman. Come on. It's the most quotable
Dude,
movie
Richard
ever.
Gere was
Come
so
on.
Good in that movie.
Officer and a Gentleman. James Cromwell is going to be George Bush Sr. James Cromwell, who is Zefran Cochrane from Star Trek. And, you know, everything else he did, but I don't care. He's fucking the guy that invented warp drive, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, wait, he's going to play George Bush?
Senior.
Oh, okay, because, like, he's, like, 118.
Which he actually looks quite a bit like George Bush Senior, if you think about it.
I'm actually looking a bit, kind of, sort of.
He could pull it off.
He looks like an old man. How about
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah, okay, what Eli was trying to say. Oliver Stone is directing.
Wow.
Yep. Swish. I can
oh,
only
man.
Assume
it's going to be like JFK all over again.
Well, if we can get back him assassinated the before left. They make it
JFK
back into the actually, so actually, yeah, they're gonna find a reason to say that about some stupid shit that W did, like forgetting. It's like, you know, did he forget what he was saying mid sentence? You can see him look back into the
into
left,
the left,
back into the left. Whatever. Oliver Stone's making a movie about W, who, as far as I'm concerned, his legacy is not yet written. I mean, come on.
Oh, God.
We either have to blow up half the world, literally a chunk of it missing, for that story to be over.
Actually, that would be a Michael Bay movie.
No, the Michael Bay movie would be that there was like a single space shuttle orbiting the Earth when it happened, and they have to come rescue us, like one at a time or something. The whole planet.
Oh, my God. Ellen Burstyn is like Barbara Bush.
Yeah.
Wow.
Barbara Senior, not yeah. not the mom. Barbara Senior, as opposed to Barbara Bush Junior. They should have fucking like
I think you're talking about Laura.
They should have Lohan play both the Bush twins in a return to Parent Trap fame.
Wow. She can alternate like rehab days.
They
like...
couldn't even. They wouldn't even have to tell her. They just follow around with a camera. And she's like, "What are you guys following? Why are you guys following me? That's right, Jenna. Why are you calling me Jenna?" So anywho, so I can't wait to see that. I'm going to sleep out at least 2 weeks in advance for that movie. David Icke from Battlestar Galactica is developing Children of Men the series.
Yes!
No, okay, why?
Just so we're clear, that man is a complete douchebag.
You worked with him, haven't you?
I have worked. My best friend works with him constantly, and the man is a complete idiot.
That sucks. We like Ron Moore, don't we?
Yeah. Oh, no, we love Ron Moore.
So how is David Icke a douchebag? And again, I'm not going on record as supporting this.
What was that show? The not Invisible Woman, but what was the fucking shitty...
Birds of Prey?
No.
Oh yeah, you're talking about
the remake of with Bionic the Woman.
Bionic Woman.
Yeah, that was terrible, and that was all David Icke.
Wait, are you saying he's a douchebag shithead fucker because he made a show that wasn't good, or no, because he's a douchebag?
No, I'm saying that show was terrible because he was a complete douchebag.
But you're not saying he's a bad person.
No, he actually is. Okay.
Just want to clarify, you are
just
slandering
so clear,
him.
I am okay. Douchebag. And like, he fucking, whatever.
He listens to this.
No.
Him and Ron Moore, like, circle jerking on this podcast right now.
Your delusions of grandeur are amazing.
Whatever.
At least he has dreams.
Yeah. At least I'm shooting for the stars.
Yeah.
Hey, David Icke, if you want to come
on, the inside
listen,
so long ago.
If you want to come on this podcast and defend yourself against Josh, open a door. You're welcome. I can't wait. So anyway,
he's a douchebag.
Children of Men was an all right movie. I mean, I liked it.
It was an excellent movie.
It was an awesome movie.
It was great, I guess.
Dude, that's one of the best sci-fis of like the
past
10
movie was fantastic. If you do not exalt its praises, I will fucking kill you.
I liked it. I'll say that. You're kind of going from one extreme to another. Are you on drugs? Are you okay?
No, I have to make it for last week.
He wasn't here at all last week, so he is so here this week.
I'm like, yeah, right in the middle of this shit.
I am so here this week. I'm angry at everything.
Well, you know, I was...
Kick this podcast in the balls.
Just take this podcast, taint. Kick. So, Children of Men, you know, whatever. I guess I was okay with the end of that story. I just don't really care if they continue it. It's kind of like Matrix. I don't want to see the rest of it.
It won't be a continuation. It'll have very little to do with the actual events of the movie.
No, whatever. Maybe it'll be leading up to it.
I want to see all the infighting from that movie. Like, there's tons of stuff there. I'd read that comic book. I'd read... just about anything related to that world.
I believe you. I'll tell you what, that the battle scene at the end of that, where they're trying to get the hell out of that war-torn town,
the
that
one
was pretty fucking
that was
good.
Amazing.
The one uncut camera shot,
it was actually too.
That was pretty fucking good.
Well, sure, okay, whatever.
All right, I'm gonna just elevate. I'm gonna elevate from I liked it to I really liked it. I guess on my Netflix, I'm gonna say really liked it. 4 stars.
Thank
opposed
you.
To 3.
You are forgiven. I accept your apology
and accept your apology. Thanks, Colbert. They're rewriting, or they did rewrite, all the rest of Battlestar after the strike. They had it all in the can. There was the strike. They got on hiatus, got to thinking, and went, what the fuck are we doing? And rewrote the whole show.
This week, baby.
It comes back this
so
week.
So have a hard-on for that.
Hey, so here's what's weird. The actors
raped that show.
The actors are coming out going like, yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, you might not like it. And I don't know if that's like disinformation campaign, but like Adama comes out and he's like, oh, what they're doing with the show now, it's totally fucked up. I don't even know what they're doing. And Katie Sackhoff said something about how if they end it the way I think they're going to, it's a cop-out. Like, I don't know. There's very weird emotions coming out of the Battlestar
camp. I don't
camp.
Believe the actors. I don't care what they have to say.
Those guys. Yeah. Josh is on record as hating David Icke. And you hate all the actors. We love the show.
I also
but
have
I
to
love
hate Edward James Olmos.
Why?
Because he actually is a homophobe and is a complete prick on set, and he hates Katie Sackhoff, and that's why she was out of half of season 3.
I know so much about this
because
stuff.
My best friend in Minneapolis works on the show.
Oh, you know someone who's doing post for them, right?
Yes, for like the last 3 years.
You were the guy that this is. You can say it now. Josh knew the show was canceled like 6 months before, while the internet was going, I think it might be. And Josh was like, it's fucking canceled. They stopped working on it.
Yeah.
Swish. Next story. Next I already story. Knew it.
Yes.
Well, dude, I'm
in
actually,
case you didn't know,
I'm actually trying to get up there to Vancouver for a weekend.
Wait, you're actually now
before
that,
they close the set for good.
You are that guy now that's like, my best friend works on Battlestar Galactica.
Exactly.
He told me that Katie Stackhoff has one pube longer than the rest, and she won't cut it. And I'm like, I don't care. Whatever.
Almost is
she has
Mexican,
two pubes.
So of course he's a homophobe.
Of course, yes, give him that much. Okay, he can't help it. His blood is brown.
I know.
He can't be a vegetarian. He can't be a vegetarian.
Yeah,
he has to be.
Oh,
a meat
dude, he can
and
fucking
Mexican.
Live on beans. That's fucking vegetarian.
No, it's meat the way they make it.
No, yeah.
What does that mean?
It's meat. It's yeah. come. It's meat. Trust me.
True.
I can't go any more
they
detail.
Kill the bean animal and
yes.
roast it.
They
on
hunt
a spit.
It.
They hunt them with a pitchfork. They hunt them with tortillas on sticks. They throw them like
it's
javelins. And it wraps them up and makes a burrito and cooks
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's a big box with a stick on it and there's
yeah.
a bunch of...
No, it's heritage. You're so ignorant.
Yeah. Moron.
You're so ignorant to our culture. Apparently I'm a Mexican now. So anyway,
you're
they
so
rewrote...
sleepy.
I'm so sleepy. They rewrote the whole show and it's ending differently than they intended before the strike. Whatever. I just want to point out that Nicolas Cage, I thought at one time he was a good actor and made good movies. I don't know.
It's been so when, long.
Which movie were you referring to?
Adaptation.
Adaptation was fucking phenomenal.
Oh, he
it's
was
one
in
of the
that?
Best movies. I was in it twice.
He was, yeah.
He acted so well in it. I didn't even
he was,
forgot that
he
was,
he
in
was
it.
Time. Skinny Nicolas Cage and fat Nicolas Cage
yeah.
at the same time.
It was
awesome.
Fucking awesome. And yeah. Leaving Las Vegas?
Or were they both fat? I don't remember.
What? No.
Dude, he's awesome. But he's not now.
Dude.
He makes movies about the Statue of Liberty being a missile silo or whatever. So and Abe Lincoln being a racist and a Klan member.
But it is.
So,
and he was.
And the end. My best friend knew Abe Lincoln in Minneapolis, and he told me he was a racist and a homophobe, and he hates Mexicans, and he beats his slaves.
No, Lincoln was the ship navigator for the Empire State Building or the Statue of Liberty.
What?
Wait.
What?
I'm so high.
Is this Ghostbusters?
On life.
Are you like, I happen to know on full authority that Lincoln was the guy controlling the Statue of Liberty as it walked through New York to stop Vigo in the painting in Ghostbusters 2.
Because everybody knows that only presidents can drive that bitch.
Lincoln! They're each given a key.
Yeah.
Every
yeah.
president is given a key
to the
ignition. Mech, like, the Statue of Liberty mech.
And they drive it with an NES Advantage game
yes.
stick pad
yes.
thing.
And every, then they fight.
Every day, George Bush, is, Cheney has Bush's key. And he's like, right. I can't have the key, W. And he's like, come on. Come on,
Dick. Nah, she.
Come on, Dick. Let me have it. Come on.
And then Cloverfield showed up, and then they
no.
had to have a mech
okay.
battle.
It's too early in the show for that.
No. I'm
dude,
not
way statue. Too early in the show.
We already know how that battle ends, okay?
Oh, that's right.
The statue does not win.
Gets her head raped off. Nicolas Cage is in a movie called Bangkok Dangerous. Is this not a porn?
Wait,
it's called
what?
Bangkok Dangerous. Here's the poster. Let me just show you all this.
I've seen it. Yeah.
Okay. What? So it's just his face. It says Bangkok Dangerous, and the tagline is, there's only one way out. I would like to change the tagline from, he's never been to Japan, but he's going to Bangkok. That's all.
Yeah.
That was dumb.
Why does he make stupid fucking movies?
Because I
bang
can't answer that, actually.
Bang his cock.
Okay,
next,
seriously,
next topic. Done. My, Eli, I demand an answer for this. Why are Mexicans hunting and killing emo children? Have you heard about
I
this?
I heard something about that. Well,
I don't
know
it's
what
real.
Happened, though.
How is it real?
Oh, because we're, we won't stand for that shit.
According
that's all I have to say.
Listen to this.
That.
This is from Boing Boing.
We've all been given our newsletter and said not to speak about this subject.
According to Daniel Hernandez, who's been covering the anti-emo riots on his blog, the violence began March 7th when an estimated 800 young people poured in the Mexican city of Main Plaza hunting for emo kids to pummel.
Now I'm curious how they're going to react when they're actually being oppressed. For once, for real.
Right.
Like,
why? Don't justify them.
I know. It's. Can you translate
Eli,
this for
can
us?
Can you not talk in that language on the podcast? I think most of our listeners speak English.
Yeah, this is hardcore.
They're hunting. I mean, number one, I want to make this into a movie, personally, because I want to film, like, Predator-style. Lived it. I want to film Predator-style hunting scenes. We're like the emos or the aliens and like skulking around corners and
right.
predators are stalking them with spears. But what the fuck? I mean, so like a Mexican's like just sitting there chilling, you know, he's got his sombrero and he tips it back and he sees like in his vision, tight pants show up red. Yeah. Like big bangs show up like bright blue and he's like goes invisible and kills him with his claw.
Well, no, the claws are way too expensive. It had to be like, I don't know, like PVC pipe or...
Yeah, mailboxes.
Maybe a brick.
I guess they'd have to have a postage system that worked, but...
Yeah.
My my in-laws lived in Mexico for a while for my father-in-law's job. His company owned a factory that made cell phones or something down there, so they sent him there to like make sure it didn't get blown up or something. So they have a house. The company gives them a house to live in, and... The power was all fucked up, which apparently in Mexico, like, the fact that your power doesn't work, you just have to deal with it. And so they call the power company. The power company sends out a dude who goes, do you have any, like, extra wire? Like, what? Do you have, like, an extension cord or, like, extra wire? And they did, and he splices their power into the neighbor's house and then leaves. He's like,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
that's fantastic.
Awesome. That's exactly how we run things over there.
Yeah. And I'm
everybody
like,
shares one internet. It's kind of like, I heard the
there's
podcast.
There's a single internet.
Right. Yeah. The internet. It's literally the internet.
It's anyway, slightly better than what they
so
have.
So, just
in
a
heaven.
Warning to guys wearing girl pants with way too tight American Apparel t-shirts and ironic bangs, don't go to Mexico. They're hunting you for sport. You're like Chupacabra. I don't know. I want to see emo trophies, like heads mounted on walls in Mexico. And like, you know how how guys in the South are like, that's a 10-point buck. They're like, that's 10-inch bangs on that emo. There's emo farms. I mean, it's a good alternative to beef. Real good when you run out of beef. Emo farm.
Plus, you get tax benefits.
Yeah, so you get government subsidies for growing emo. So they take normal kids and, like, depress them to grow emo. They make them listen to The Cure.
You mean they just live in Mexico?
Yes. No, Mexican kids grow up robust. They grow up fighters. They're like Klingons. They grow up ready to
right.
kill.
Well, they start their training on piñatas at an early age.
No. It's like 300 where they send you off to go
yes.
fight whatever.
You fight a wolf.
But they actually don't expect you to come back. It's just like, yeah. just go work. Like, go out and do some work.
They give
work.
You a sickle and they just like, go.
Yeah, go.
Come back when you have money.
Yeah.
Mas pesos, por favor.
And that's why we have Mexicans here today.
Speaking of piñatas.
Piñata.
Is the guy that writes the commercials for Skittles on drugs? Have you seen the new Skittles commercial? It's a pinata man, and a guy tries to kill him with a stick, and he's like, oh, did you think I was full of Skittles delicious candy? I'm a person! And like, they beat him, and he's full of candy.
Yeah, those are weird.
They're like LSD nightmares.
Well, I mean, you saw the one where the dude had like the Midas touch?
Skittles!
Yeah. Like that was genuinely disturbing.
He's like, I can't hold my son or he'll turn into Skittles and die. That's too much. That's like the guy that made Alf made the Skittles commercials or something. Official announcement that Ian McKellen will return as Gandalf in the Hobbit movie.
Yay.
To be more truthful, Gandalf, who masquerades as Ian McKellen in the mortal
world, right.
will return as Gandalf.
Right.
In the
Could
Hobbit
you
movie.
Imagine if he didn't get that part?
Right, they're like
the
trying out
uprising
it's like,
of
got,
like
they've got the Mac guy from the Mac PC commercials trying out for it, and they're like, I don't know, we kind of like this guy. He's got kind of a you know slacker vibe.
Yeah.
It's cool. For the kids, get bring
really
in
well.
The kids.
He tests
you know?
Really well with the kids.
Yeah.
The kids will. The
14
kids
to 18. Yeah. Oh, they love this kid. Gandalf has like a hoodie, a gray hoodie. You know, like ironic bangs,
and it says like Volcom or something on the side. Like, yeah. Gandalf, are you wearing like fucking Vans?
Yeah, Ian McKellen's like. I actually know magic. I mean, I'm really a wizard. I'm 900 years old. They're like, I don't know.
I can save you a fortune in post. Just let me do this.
Hey, I know that we're going to play this interview. We're going to play this interview with the guy that got his house filmed in by Joss. But speaking of Joss, Hilo got cast in Dollhouse as like the main love interest for Dushku. That's pretty cool.
Wait, who got what?
Hilo from Battlestar.
Oh.
I'm sure he has a real name, but right. God, fuck if I know it.
Hilo.
Hilo.
No, we all know him.
What's his last name?
Hilo.
No, he's got a weird name. Hilo Battlestar Galactica. That's his name. He's not a Cylon. So, anyway, he's going to be like the main agent in Dollhouse. That's pretty cool. Prison Break is coming back?
No, next topic.
Why?
Because it...
No, why is it coming back?
That show was part of the reason why Arrested Development went down, so...
Fuck Prison Break.
Fuck everybody. Season 1. If you think that's a good show.
The first 6 episodes of season 1 were like, that's pretty cool. And I'm like, obviously this is a 1-season thing. There's no way they're going to keep it going. They're not going to break out of a prison every season.
You know, I thought 24 was going to be a 1-season thing. It was like, this gimmick can't possibly work twice.
And it didn't work all seasons in a row.
Season 2, it worked. And then
when did it stop working?
Yeah, but see, Prison Break
was like, and then 4 made me want to kill myself.
Season 1 of Prison Break was... We're almost going to escape every episode until they do. They do on the finale. The whole next season is them, it's the fugitive of the series.
Boo.
The third season, they're in an even worse prison.
Boo.
And they have to escape. And it's fucking ridiculous.
It's going to break down to the point where they're going to get caught by the mall security, and then they're going to be in the mall security room.
The closet.
And they're going to have to break out of there. It's going to be an entire season.
Every episode is them going, let us go. No.
No. They're going to break out
until your parents get here.
And they're going to run in a different direction each time, and each episode's going to be sponsored by like Wet Seal or some shit, like whatever store they run
Goody
past.
Records and
Segway sponsorship. I mentioned on the site last week that one of the things that I punish myself with weekly is Smallville, because I hate myself and I appreciate pain. So Smallville's the worst show on television right now. It's worse than Passions.
Wait, that fucking thing's still on?
That's the correct. Eli.
I know.
That's the correct response.
I have no idea
is
why.
Is that fucking thing's still on? And just briefly, the main reason it's terrible, the reason it's worse than all the other shows on the WB or whatever it is now.
Wait, the WB is still on?
They still have it. Actually, it's not.
It's the CW now.
It's, yeah. The snap. Whore is what that stands for.
Snap, dog.
Yeah. So that show's just terrible. Whatever. They struck a deal with Stride Gum. I read about it first. WB, or CW, blah, 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 Smallville is going to be sponsored by Stride Gum for like the second half of the season. I'm like, the fuck does that mean? They're going to be like, man, this gum's tasty, this Stride Gum. That's exactly what it meant. The next episode, they go see a concert. The concert is in the Stride Gum factory. Okay?
Wow.
Hang on, because we've all seen the Stride Gum commercials. It lasts so long that they lose money. That's their gimmick, right? Okay, in the show, one of the characters goes, man, if their gum didn't last so long, this factory probably could have stayed open. Eat Stride Gum, eating, loving it.
Wow.
Eating it. God damn, that gum is good. And like the rest of the episode, the black kid from season 1 that comes back.
He comes back?
Gets powers from Kryptonite Stride Gum.
Are you serious?
Every time he chews a piece of delicious Stride Gum,
that jackass actually came back to the show.
Dude. So anyway, we need to pick a sponsor.
So hard.
Let's pick a sponsor right now before we even talk to them. Let's just go ahead and ham it up for them. Oreos? No, I don't want to do Oreos.
Trojan condom rings.
No.
Yes. Just the rubber part, not the actual full condom, just the rubber.
Seriously,
condom.
I need free shit.
Free condoms. Okay. I know a lot of people would have sex with a condom, but I pour my Pepsi in it and drink it at, like a canteen. Like, it's
that
great.
Is a terrible mental image.
It's great for that. I when I'm tying off.
Is that a hustler? What do you? What
when I'm tying off for my drugs, I use condoms.
All right,
and then I take off and fuck with them.
But that's because you're going to put it in your ass anyway. That's what the.
That is true.
Astroglide. That should be their.
Yeah, we saw this. Eli's got this magazine with an Astroglide ad, and the Astroglide ad is an attractive man and an attractive waify model girl staring at the camera like, "We use Astroglide." No, you don't. Replace that with two dudes and just. Get it over with. That's ridiculous.
Dude, just spit on it.
God! Yeah.
Josh for the win.
Yeah. Swish. Boosh.
Well, here's another one. This one for the lazy internet people.
Yeah.
Like, the Fire TV, it's a fucking box that downloads...
It's a BitTorrent box for porn that you plug into your plasma TV or whatever.
And that's it.
Fire, F-Y-R-E.
TV.com.
So Eli brings that up and he goes, it's called Fry TV. I said, I bet it's called Fire. He goes, no, Fry. I said, F-Y-R-E. He goes, right, Fry. Maybe in Mexico.
English is a second
again,
language.
My parents
ESL. Look, just say
my
ESL.
My parents said, here's the sickle. Go.
Come back when you have pesos.
Right. And he never
and
came
I never,
back.
And I never came back. But I did run into my parents when I was working in the movie theater, and then they came to see a movie, and they were like, do you want butter?
They asked you that?
No. What?
That was yes. Eli.
Oh.
And they were like, who the fuck are you?
No, they were like, how have you reached such heights? Do you own this theater? Like,
yes.
I'm the guy wearing the cat suit, so.
And right as I put on the helmet, the head to the front row, Joe, see ya.
Dancy, dancy, dancy.
Jazz hands.
Cat hands. Oh, God. LOL Eli's. Lolies.
Oh, my God. Now that I think about it, that would have been the greatest, like, lolcat thing ever to be, like.
In the cat suit?
Yeah, as front row Joe, and then lolcatting people, like, in the mall, like.
Yeah.
Oh, I just teabagged, you know, like, thing. Oh, LOL.
You've always got a computer open, and you've got a screwdriver, and you're like, oh, hi, I just upgraded your RAM.
As I stab, like,
dude. Bro. Hang on, bro. Check it.
What?
Check it. Real life LOL cats, we need to do it. We need a cat suit, and we need to go to a mall and lol people, and they will not
do
understand.
You,
Eli, you have the most expertise in this area.
Yeah,
I'm
you
voting
have to
for
wear
you to be the cat.
This is not a vote. This is not a democracy.
Right.
This is a cheerocracy.
Right. Is that from that movie that you love that makes me want to kill you?
Yeah, it's Bring It On.
Bring It On.
I want to thank Denise for being the only one that laughed at that because she loves the movie as much
You're
as I do.
Both whores.
Yeah.
Whatever. So, the other gimmick I wanted to do really bad, we talked about this a long time ago, was I want you to borrow your boss's Segway. I want you to dress as a homeless person. So, you know, just wear what you're wearing.
Oh, yeah.
And then I want to go downtown and
I just caught that.
I want Eli to be digging through trash cans on a Segway.
Yeah, I can do that.
And begging for money. Like he's riding a $10,000 fucking pogo stick.
Dude, they're only like $4,000 now.
Well, I want him to find the one that was $10,000.
Yeah, I know.
And put a cardboard sign on it that says, like, you know, will work for food, but he's spinning around on a Segway.
And then put a little bucket on the front.
Yeah.
Or something.
Like a little hat.
Oh, no, you hook a shopping cart to the front of it that you're throwing cans in, and I want to film you from really far away as, like, drivers slow down and, like, watch you, like, dig through dumpsters with a fucking Segway and, like, a jetpack and
best
a Rolex.
The best part about that, I would do it because when the homeless uprising starts to happen, I just fucking scoot away.
Wow.
I'm like, fuck you.
Well, no, when the homeless uprising starts, you're going to turn around and be their king.
No, okay. They go like 10 miles an hour. They would outrun you.
No, they'll go much faster than that.
The homeless are like the zombies in I Am Legend. They can jump like 30 feet.
You cannot get a homeless person to care enough about anything to move that fast.
Oh, man.
Unless
they listen to this podcast.
Maybe a 50 cent piece. Maybe.
Speaking of 50 Cent.
How do you start a parade in Mexico? Roll a quarter down the street.
No!
Oh, Jesus.
I'm living in a building with Mexicans.
Speaking of 50 Cent, Josh, Jesus. What the hell were you trying to tell me before we started this?
Okay, yeah, so 50 Cent's having this new game.
A sequel to Bulletproof,
which was had terrible ratings, but sold a whole lot because people are stupid.
Wait, but what did 50... Which is his proper Christian name.
Fitty.
What did he do in that game? Was it an FPS or an FPS?
I have no idea.
First person fist? FPF?
Whoa.
I don't know, but I
was
there.
Was it a romantic fist?
I was at a GameStop.
Attachment?
I was at a GameStop when somebody walked up next to me and they're like, yeah, I want to return this. And the guy's like,
and I want a fucking apology.
pretty much. The guy's like,
from your manager?
He's like, I want to return this. And he's like, the guy behind the counter is like, well, what's wrong with it? Is it scratched? He's like, no, it's just not good.
It's just the worst game I've ever played, and yeah. I hate you.
And the guy's like, you can't.
Yeah, we don't do that.
You can't return it for that. And he's like, well,
I beg to differ.
Yeah, he's like, well, it's not good. And he's like, we can buy it for store credit. And he's like, how much is that? He's like,
Six
I don't know.
Bucks.
We'll probably give you like $3 for it. I just paid like $62 for it.
He looks up in the computer and he's like, oh, that's the worst game we've ever had. $2, $3. Okay, so there's a sequel.
Yeah, okay, so...
Demand was met, the people are being satisfied, satiated.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, so they announced the sequel, and I rolled my eyes harder than I ever had before.
You could see your brain?
Yeah, it was pretty...
Whoa, it's my brain.
Pretty sweet.
Dark in here.
But,
hey, Josh.
But today...
It's your brain.
Today...
Mr. DNA.
Shut the fuck up.
Hey,
anyway.
John.
Go ahead. It's in your blood.
Go ahead. Go ahead, John. So yeah, DNA, what are you doing there?
The plot details for the new 50 Cent game were released early today or whatever.
Tasty.
So it starts with him doing a benefit concert in some unnamed war-torn country in the Middle East.
Sure.
But the concert promoters are unable to pay him
for the benefit
for his benefit performance. So the game starts off with him like hassling the concert promoters, and they threaten whatever. He's going to kill them because they can't whatever. So they decide that they will give him a diamond-encrusted skull as payment.
I've got one of those.
And is it magic?
I don't know. Well, Fitty's all like, sweet, diamond-encrusted skull.
He puts it on a chain and leaves.
But on his way from leaving the unnamed country, the diamond-encrusted skull is stolen. And so you spend the game tracking down your diamond-encrusted skull.
Your payoff for not killing the promoter of a free concert for a benefit for like AIDS or something.
Yeah.
That's... He's a hero.
I can't fucking believe.
He's an American hero.
How low we will go to sell shitty rap to kids.
No, it's shitty video games that you're selling to kids that already like shitty
I
rap.
I cannot believe how low that would go. But anybody listen to this podcast will get a free bottle of crack if they're like the first one to write in and say they enjoy the podcast.
No, but the first game came, it was like four new like unreleased songs from 50, which is why it sold so much. Because it was like new 50 music. Woo! And I'm stupid, and I love it. So that's probably what they're doing again.
Sure. Thanks, Fitty. Scent.
Yeah.
These screenshots look killer, by the way.
For the game?
Are you... Oh, God. I hadn't... Okay, it's actually called Blood on the Sand, which I did not know until just now, and that looks like
that's
asshole.
It's a beach volleyball game.
Fitty Scent. Blood on the Sand. Extreme Volleyball 2.
Are they all in the rag? What?
Whoa! Edit. Remove, delete.
Beep.
Remove Josh from podcast completely. Computer, remove Josh from podcast completely.
I can't do that, Joel.
Where's Majel Barrett? Why is she not talking back to me?
What do you think you're doing, Josh?
Seriously, no. That's a totally funny image, and you know it.
So that's all my internet. Oh, another thing I'm going to mention. I'm going to put a link to this. Our friend Mikey... wrote a comic book based on the game that these dickholes are making. Brothers in Arms.
Volume adjusted.
Hell's Dickway or whatever. Hell's Highway.
What are you doing, Josh?
Stop it, fucker.
You asked for it.
Brothers in Arms, Hell's Highway is coming out sometime before the end of time. And Mikey wrote a comic book about it. And it's being put out.
Volume adjusted.
And I've got a link to an interview with him. So I'm going to put that on the links there. Who else has internet? I'm done. I read all the internet for this week.
Yeah, I'm over the internet.
Do you have anything, Eli?
Yeah, I had the...
Give it to me.
Well, it's more of a link, but there was the Geek Cars. We saw that. The cars that geeked out cars.
That's totally really more interesting.
Yeah, how can I put that on the audio? We can react to it. Wow, that one's cool. That one's even better.
That one's awesome. Great. Dumb.
Hey, here's our next podcast. We look at porn. That you can't even hear it, and we're like, oh, yeah.
No, the other thing, what was it? Oh, the crack deal that was caught.
That'll
on
still be
Google
interesting,
Maps.
Though.
That's true.
Because I'll whip mine out,
okay,
and
yeah.
Then you guys will freak out.
Wait.
Not mine.
Look, listen.
Seen
thing.
It.
Listen. Yeah, there is no way to escape
it,
gay porn on the internet. You Google, like, okay, the last time I got rickrolled by the internet, okay, I was actually doing graphic design work, and I Googled, I need a sky background. I Googled blue sky, okay? Result number one was a man with a giant erection standing in front of a blue sky.
Oh, yeah, like, no, I know that guy.
I was like, you got
that's
Troy.
Kevin.
Yeah, that's like, Todd.
You got what you needed?
Yeah. I cut him out of it, and I used him instead of this guy.
My favorite thing about that was when we were at work, we had gotten somebody who was relatively new, and they were like, so where do I get texture source? I'm like, we have a lot of textures here at the office on the network, but just use Google Images. And they're like, oh, okay. Sure. So your first assignment is a street, and I need you to build a manhole in there.
Manhole?
Like, oh, what? And it's like, yeah, one of those manholes, the metal ones. So yeah, just look at manhole as the whole time I'm like, like, type it in. As soon as he types it in, yeah, that's exactly what you hear. And I'm like, ha, sucker.
That's
now go
good.
Look up cock.
I'm typing that right now.
Yeah, also.
Is manhole one word or two?
Well, it would be
it
two.
It goes, yeah.
If you were trying to find what you
were. Okay, number six is, wow.
Gaping manhole.
That's,
yep.
That's really unfortunate.
Also, warehouse is a good one.
Oh, if you two words, it's the second result.
Actually,
so.
As a matter of fact, since we do have that interview,
know what I'm looking at,
so that we can move along, we should probably go into the next two things. We're gonna do the mail sack, but before we get to the mail sack, I want to talk about this lost theory that that came up on the internet. This guy, okay, every season, every single season, somebody goes, got it figured out. I know everything. I know what all of it is. And they post this like 19-page theory. This guy, I think he's got it. I think he's right. So if you don't want to hear this theory, it's not a spoiler. It's just one guy's guess. I think he's pretty fucking close. The article is gigantic. So to sum it up, the island has unique electromagnetic properties. That's all that's special about the island.
It's a Radio Shack.
Yeah, Dharma goes there. Dharma goes to this Radio Shack island to experiment on that and inadvertently invents a time machine. But they can't figure out what to do with it. So here's where it gets interesting. I know Josh and I have seen it, but there's an indie film that was filmed here in Dallas called Primer.
Excellent movie.
It's actually really good.
Confusing as fuck, but it's excellent.
It's confusing to the people that made it. But
and it was made for like $7,000.
It's a time travel movie. It's actually really good. But the theory behind Primer is that if you start the time machine on Monday and then you get in it on Thursday, the furthest back you can go is Monday. If you leave it running for a year, the furthest back you can go is the day you started it. So that's their time travel theory. Okay, this guy is applying that to Lost, and he doesn't mention Primer. What they're saying, though, is that the secret room that has anything you want in your entire life, you can reach inside it and pluck out your father or whatever that Ben talks about, is the time machine. It's also what's encased in cement under the old station. So basically, they start the time machine. The island ends up in a bubble of time. This guy figures they start it in 1996. Which basically means if you get in the time machine, you can go back to 1996 and no further back. Okay, once you go back, you still look the same, but you revert to whatever state you were in that time. Let's say it's 1996. The island is not curing diseases. It's taking people back to how they were 8 years ago.
Before they had the disease.
Right. It's not necessarily curing anything. He goes into detail about why this affects pregnant women. He goes into detail about the smoke monster, that they're going to eventually say that the universe is just correcting itself. Any changes that you make that you shouldn't have made, the smoke monster is fate or causality setting them right. Once you catch up to yourself, if you left in 2007, got in the time machine, went back to 1996, once you get back to 2007... you're back to however you were in 2007. You've caught up to yourself, and you begin aging at that point again. You don't age the whole time until you catch up to what would be your real time. That explains why those, you know, Richard Alpert hasn't aged. He jumped in the time machine. All kinds of shit. It's a good theory. I'll put a link to it. It's very involved. In a roundabout way, it explains the whole show, which means they're probably going to change it because it's probably right. Well, I don't know if anybody had any thoughts on that.
Yeah. Very interesting theory. Also, put Primer on your Netflix and watch the shit out of that movie because it's really, really cool.
The best part about Primer is on the Wikipedia entry, the guy did the timeline. Have you seen that?
Oh, the actual, the chart?
The chart of what the different timelines are?
Yeah, there's like ridiculous. 47 or it's so...
permutations.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But it's actually, like, shockingly well thought out.
Actually, that guy's actually from this area.
Yeah, yeah, they filmed it at the Richardson Public Library
part of it. Richardson and Plano and around Dallas.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good movie. Anyway, if this guy's right, I'm not mad. I actually think it's a pretty good thing for the show. I think that they've taken this long and not said any of this is bullshit.
The only potential problem I have there is that I only understood what he wrote because I had previously seen Primer.
I spent
months trying to understand that movie.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they're going to explain this in a way that, like, my dad would understand watching it on TV.
It explains the rabbits. It explains a lot of different things. And
I just want Doc Brown to show up.
Jack!
I want the Predator.
Jack, it's your kids, Jack! Great Scott! 1.21 gigawatts!
I want Doc to show up, and I want the Predator to land on that island.
Okay.
Game over.
The best part about that theory...
Actually, BSG needs to, like, find Earth, and they find the island.
The best part about this theory is that it explains 108 minutes perfectly. It says that Ben, okay, the purpose of the Swan Station, the computer, was to keep the machine, keep resetting it every 108 minutes, which would keep it in a loop of the exact same, you know, hour and a half, which removes it from time, makes it impossible to get to the island, and keeps them all from aging. So they're perceiving time normally, but no one's aging, and they're technically only living in this same 108-minute block in 1996. When they destroyed the station, that is when...
Time starts up again.
Time starts up. So the island is in, like, 2004. The world is in 2004. The island is, like, in 1998 by now. But, like, there's an offset. And that's why when you're leaving the island, weird shit happens to you, because you're crossing this sort of time barrier. But anyway... that was pretty good. That explains the 108 minutes pretty good, too.
Yeah. And, it does a good job of explaining Desmond freaking out on the helicopter on the way back.
The only part about that I didn't like... Yeah, what this guy says is that you can't reconcile your old memories with your new memories or some weird shit. And the thing about the constant, I think, is a cop-out. But whatever. So there's a theory. If anybody has anything else, I'm gonna go to the mail sack.
Do it.
Okay. Mail sack. You ready with the stinger?
Go.
Let's test. Question one. Pew, 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 pew. I wasn't actually ready for the question.
Can't actually make it go any faster.
Okay. Well, let's go to the mail sack. Mail sack. We need a theme song for the mail sack.
Mail sack, mail sack, mail sack, mail sack.
Mail sack.
Sure.
Mail sack. But I don't think I have anything. I don't think.
Okay. For this one, I'm going to answer direct questions. Since we've got this interview to play, I don't want the show to run too long. So if you gave us topics to discuss, we'll probably save those for later and just go with the direct questions. Blah, 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 blah. First question from Lauren Sturt is, what do we think about Anonymous versus Scientology?
Wait, what?
Okay. What do we think about Anonymous versus Scientology?
I don't think they stand a chance of actually accomplishing anything, but I wish them luck in their endeavors.
They've raised awareness of Scientology being bullshit, but Texas is voting whether or not to revoke their tax-exempt status.
Oh my god, I so hope that wins.
Texas is probably doing it for like the wrong reasons.
Well, they're doing it because it's like, it's not fucking Jesus.
Yeah, they don't blame Jesus, goddammit. They're going to be like, someone's going to be like...
They're not religious.
Someone's going to be like, do not tell him about the Jews.
No, they believe in Jesus, just not as, you know...
That's right. That's the only reason they get tax-exempt status in Texas.
Right. They at least acknowledge that he was a man.
Sure. Scientology acknowledges that if he's not an alien, then...
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that anybody with half a fucking brain knows that Scientology is a fucking scam, and it's an awesome business. I wish I could apply that model to the website. Hell.
You're not supposed to admit that
worship
out loud.
Worship me, I guess? I don't know.
Worship on 3, 2, 1, go.
Worship. Okay, everyone's worshiping me. All right. I'm an alien. I'm alien Jesus. Send me money, and I'll fix you. Whatever. Fuck those guys.
Well, you know, it worked for the Catholic Church forever. So.
You know, they found... Whoa.
Still does.
Whoa. Hey, we talked to Jesus last week. He admitted it.
A guy commented on a really old post.
I missed that. I'm sorry.
A guy commented on a really old post, and I couldn't tell if he was defending Scientology or defending. I don't know if he was arguing with me, but I agreed with him. He said basically, yeah, if you wanted to, you could call all religion crazy, which maybe I do.
I can do that.
Maybe I do.
Done. If you don't want to, I'll do it for you.
But Scientology is just a really outright money making scam.
It's just a pyramid scheme.
There are sects of all churches that are money making scams. I was raised in one, but Scientology is just a really good scam. It's just a fantastic business model for a really deceitful corporation. So anyone fooled by that probably deserves it.
Take that, Tom.
Yeah, you crazy fucker. John Dark asked if we watch Frisky Dingo. Of course we watch Frisky Dingo. What the fuck? If you're not watching Frisky Dingo, then hit pause and leave and don't listen to this anymore. You know, I'd say stop, but iTunes doesn't have a stop button.
You know who I like?
Who's that?
The stork from The Pickles.
The Pickle?
You know.
The Pickle Stork.
From The Pickles.
The Pickle. I was supposed to get pickles.
I mean, you can come to the party if you want. We watched the shit out of that.
Never go back to Arizona.
Watch Frisky Dingo. For the love of Jesus. I think the DVD is coming out yesterday or tomorrow.
Really?
Tuesday?
I didn't know that.
Tuesday?
I don't really know.
Denise is nodding her head.
Didn't know that.
It's already out. Get it. Okay. Where's mine?
I've watched the entire run of the show actually about twice, and I still have no idea who any of these people are or what they're doing.
In the show?
In the show. I'm just completely confused, like, constantly.
How are you confused? It's perfect.
Yeah.
The show's perfect.
It makes more sense than Lost.
It certainly makes more sense than Lost. Dude, and one of the most recent ones, Xander shows up in the Awesome X costume. They realize when they've left something out, and Killface goes, "What are you wearing?" And he goes, "What? I'm Awesome X." Oh, I guess you probably didn't know that. Never actually saw me in this costume.
Oh, we should probably cover that.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they never did. That's so awesome. Barnaby Jones. I love Frisky
Dingo. Master Cylinder.
Master Cylinder. I can feel a tall boy.
Barely feel a tall boy.
That's a really good abortion movie. Kind of a downer, but it's funny. As abortion movies go, love that show. Dimiyakumu? Denise, am I saying that right? Kaboosh!
What is it, like a fucking Ewok?
I don't know. Dimiyakumu
Are you calling Denise an Ewok?
No!
Maybe.
I'm just noticing. Never mind. Dimiyakumu says, are any of you Army of Darkness Evil Dead fans?
Yes. Duh.
Not in any fanatical sense of the word.
No,
but
not
yes.
Fanatical, but I don't know. Dig the shit out of it.
Have you ever met Bruce? People, you meet.
Oh,
I have met Bruce.
I have Bruce.
Actually, we both met him at the same time at
E3. Yeah,
at E3. Yeah,
the same
time.
He
told me
I
had a cool name, and I was like, "What?"
No, he told me I had a cool name.
Yeah, it was his like stupid spiel of like, just get out of the line.
You have a cool name.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, hi, my name is Tom. That's a cool name, Tom. Get out of my fucking way. Next.
Well,
he
was signing DVDs and shit. And
he
I was
just
like,
says,
here's my copy of Evil Dead that
whatever
I just bought.
Yeah, whatever I could go run out to fucking Fry's and buy.
Yeah, yeah, he goes, cool name, Boomstick, bye.
That's
pretty all
much
the Bruce
what it was.
You get, fuckers. But
there was a line of like 800 people, so I don't blame him for that.
Same question actually follows up with what we're already talking about. Have you ever met anybody you consider to be one of your idols? Joko or Whedon? Well, we're going to have an interview with a guy that did meet Whedon, had some very nice things to say about him.
We've talked to that guy, or we will have talked to that guy, so that means we've met Joss Whedon.
By two proxy. Degrees of separation.
By
sure.
proxy.
So we rule you don't.
I've met Jonathan Coulton.
I was there.
You were there, Josh.
That was awesome.
Too. He was extremely gracious.
It was a great show.
I gave him a printout of the first comic that I did about him, and he signed it and gave it back to me, and I gave him another one to keep. I'm sure it is in the bottom of a waste bin somewhere, but... he was a great guy, really great performance, and extremely gracious to his fans. I think he knows who's paying the bills. It's me.
And he's got awesome hair.
And he does. It flows in such a way that you just want to caress it.
I know. It's.
I don't know. I've met,
it takes good care of it.
I met Alan Tudyk from Firefly.
Oh, that's right, and I hate you for that.
Outside of, I met him, and I kind of go, brown coat, pee. Like, that was the end.
I met the two of the writers from Battlestar Galactica.
Fucking David Icke. Fucking hate David Icke. If it was David Icke, I would have pissed on him.
No, it wasn't those two guys. I forget what...
I will have you know that my friend pissed on David Icke, and he loved it because he's a piss fetishist. He's
yeah,
asshole.
I've watched the Wireframe previews for like half the episode, so shut up.
Wow.
Whatever. Who have you met, Eli?
I don't remember the two... I was just in awe that these two guys who write for Battlestar, they're... Two of the main writers.
You were just hiding your boner?
Yeah. I was like having to like...
Please don't look at my boner.
They're like, why do you have that blanket over your legs? I have polio. it hurts. Polio. Wow.
The polio affects my boner.
I met David Gray.
Who's that?
The musician.
Who the fuck is that?
The musician David Gray from the UK.
Who's that?
He's a musician.
I'm still asking. You're not clarifying in any way. I met this hobo from Scotland.
I'm sure somebody knows who he is.
I met a bunch of musicians in the 90s. None of them who I think are cool anymore. I almost met Creed, and I'm so glad I didn't.
Oh, God, why?
Because I was 14 and I liked Creed? I don't know.
I met Bob Odenkirk.
We had that streak.
He's a cool guy.
I met Bob Odenkirk when he was premiering Dinner with Melvin at the AFI Film Festival, like back in 99.
He is friends with my friend Cornmo, which I think
Bob
is
Odenkirk?
Cool. Yeah.
He signed my my Krispy Kreme hat because it's all I had on me.
That was the night that I left early for
and missed meeting. Yeah. Bob
God
Odenkirk.
Damn it! Yep. I don't even know why I did that. I went home.
When I was in high school, I yep. snuck backstage at a lot of concerts. I met. This is all going to be so 90s dated. I met Better Than Ezra. I met and I got to interview those guys.
You met Tesla
for like your high school paper.
Whoa, even better for my friend's fanzine.
Great White.
Oh God, why?
Pre-internet printout blog fanzine.
Do you know how fucking gross I feel right now?
On a typewriter. It was so great.
Fucking Xerox that shit
Boss
and tack it up to.
We met the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. We met NOFX. We met the Cherry Poppin' Daddies. This is like 1996.
Sweet.
You met everybody on a time
were they
like
as cool
what is
as their
time
music?
Television like where they sell you the
yes I met everyone on the CD hits from classic 1996 Cherry Poppin' Daddies Better Than Ezra Mighty Mighty Boss Tones like yeah I
yeah you met everybody on that box
now Volume 7 like that's what
I got
you
to hang out
did.
With Harvey Danger a couple of times and
that's
they were fantastic
cool.
guys.
I ran into...
They're cool for releasing an album free on the internet
Lee
way before everyone else did.
I ran into Lee Harvey's wife who ran...
Lee Harvey Oswald?
Yeah. She was running the Army Surplus Store in Dallas, like in downtown Dallas for a while there. And Alex and I went in there and we were like...
There are so many layers of creepy there.
Is that... I think that's
back.
I think that's... To
back the into the left. You should have walked up
he
to him and like,
the,
back into the left. Back into the left.
Yeah.
Can I help you with something, sir? Back into the left.
Where are your army hats? Back
whatever.
Into the left.
All right, next question.
I did it.
Next question.
Oh, shit.
Can you open or close the podcast with Adam Sandler's at a medium pace? We are talking mid-90s, so I don't know, maybe.
Wow.
Shove the shampoo take that bottle shampoo on my ass. At a medium pace. Shove-a-do. Navy beans. The shampoo is better. No, the conditioner is better.
Stop it.
What's the Arrested Development movie going to be about plot-wise, and will the show pick up again? The show will not pick up again.
Just not. We're going to state that one
well,
right
not,
now.
Not because the cast wouldn't all do it. They would all do it. I guarantee fucking to you. Is that guy, Mitchell, what's his name, won't do it. He almost won't do the movie.
What?
The creator
Buster?
Of the show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, he kept it from going to Showtime. Showtime asked for the show, and he said, no, I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to do it on Showtime, is what he said.
It's funnier whenever they had to be clever to get around the censors.
Yeah, I think he's... God damn it, I think he was right, too.
Probably.
No, he was.
I hope the movie is about the finale, about maybe making their story into a movie with Hollywood. I think that'd be great.
Okay, if... No, never mind. I'm just letting that one go.
Andy's got a really particular question here. Last time you said there were only about 800 of us listening, I think you were talking out your Jesus ass. I don't know if he meant high or low, but any real estimates on how many people visit the site or listen to the podcast? Yeah, because I'm obsessive compulsive about that. There's about 800 people listening to the podcast, almost exactly. The site's got about 4,000 regular readers, gets about 3,000 to 5,000 page views a day, gets a couple of 100,000 page views a month. Oh, yeah, that's good. And by the time this airs, you will have all heard the big announcement. So I'm not even going to mention it on here. If you're hearing this and don't know what announcement I'm talking about, go look at the website. It'll be on there. You're all enlisted in the Hijinks and Sioux Army. Anyway, could you talk a bit about how this project got underway? I want to hear some more about how you got involved in the comic or met each other or whatever.
Oh, Jesus.
Fuck me.
Let's see. I met you when you were squatting at somebody else's apartment
at
in college.
UGD?
Not actually
yes.
going to college. You yes. were just there.
Josh had just walked off a bus from L.A.
What?
And his hopes and dreams are in
right.
the bag.
He's wearing stiletto boots.
And I said, hey, boy.
Get in the car.
I like what you. I like what I see.
Nothing
I like the way
Eli,
you're shaking that ass.
Yeah, nothing Eli just said is true. That's
and then,
not true
what was
at all.
It? I'll
do
tell
not
you what.
Have stilettos.
I seen whatever, and I think you got it or whatever. Yeah. What was it? The Mr. Show thing.
Josh and Eli work together, and always have since the beginning of time.
I was Josh's boss.
I met Slightly. Eli
through Josh. And actually, this is the best part about you, Josh. Josh left us all.
Yes, I did.
And moved to Minneapolis for a year.
Yeah.
Now, what had been happening the previous 6 months is that me, Josh, and Eli would hang out with me and Josh, me and Eli relating through Josh. Like, if Josh left the room to take a shit, we'd be like, man, that Josh, as far as we know, we don't have anything in common, so that Josh is a crazy cat that we both know.
Right.
Bet his shit smells awful. Anyway.
It does.
So Josh moves, and then I'm like, I guess we should still hang out. I don't know. What do we do? And our world kind of fell apart, and we cried on each other for about a month or two.
It was like, so...
So what do we...
It's hard to let me go.
You watch movies, right?
You breathe air, right?
Yeah, I mean, you wear clothes. You don't have gills, do you?
Hey, you tie your shoes just like
Whoa.
Me. That's cool.
I bet after you run for a long time, your taint sweats. We got a lot
in
common.
This is great.
Wow.
High five.
Yeah, so...
Meanwhile, I spent 3 months in Europe whoring around.
Right. This is the best part. Why did Josh quit his job? Because they wouldn't give him 3 months paid vacation.
I did not ask for paid vacation.
Excuse me. They wouldn't give him 3 months time off in a row during a really busy time of year.
That is not true.
Yes, it is.
I had finished my project.
And he's like, fuck this. I am out. And fuck then you. fuck everybody.
You're
I
cool.
Ow, I like you. Not you. You are a dick. David Icke, I hate you. I'm leaving. God damn, the video games can suck it. And then
I packed a backpack and I went to Europe for 3 months.
Yeah.
And it's the best thing
I've
ever
done. Where everything in the backpack was stolen.
No, that was a different trip to Europe.
Oh, okay.
That was a much shorter trip.
Then you got a job.
It was a week in Amsterdam.
In Minnesota.
Yes, Minneapolis.
And then Minneapolis, which is in Minnesota. I'm not incorrect there.
Correct.
And then you came crawling back.
Right.
Like a bitch.
Yeah.
Here you are.
Well, Mikey was like, hey, we're doing this thing. And I talked to Randy, who is the owner of the company. And Randy wouldn't...
All right, enough about you. Shut up. They're asking about the comic. All right, so...
This isn't about Joel.
The comic...
Shut up.
Yeah, keep it down. I know what the listeners want to hear. It's my sultry tones. So they, I don't know. I had a baby, and I'll talk... You'll hear more about this.
I like how just casual, just whatever.
Go back to the website. You know, you have a baby.
Popped out of my wife. I don't know
You wonder what the fuck you're doing with your life. And I was in a sales job. And I've had a lot of jobs, as you all know. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? This is not me. And so, actually, it was our friend Wes, years before, who tried to encourage me to make a comic. He actually came up with the name. Call it Hijinks and Sue. And I said, better yet, I'll call it Hijinks in apostrophe Sue. It's two people and those are their names. And he's like, yeah, that's not a very good idea. And I was like, you're right, it's terrible. I won't do that.
And I'm like, so glad you never told me that before,
yeah,
because
then,
that
like,
is awful.
3 years later, I made the comic.
And Wes disappeared.
I wanted, I don't know, I had a kid and it makes you reevaluate your life, and I was in a job I didn't like, and I wasn't really happy with what I was doing for 9 hours a day, so I decided to change that, and started making the comic. So there you go. Originally, the comics were going to all be direct, I don't know, quotes, visual quotes of IMs that I had with Eli and Josh, and that lasted for a few of them, and then they just kind of started spawning from there. And he also asked, so anyway, if you want more about the story, there's probably a manifesto on the website.
There'll be a made for television
Go to the About page on the website, read about me, and read about the Hijinks and Sue story and the manifesto and all the good stuff that you can do to keep it going. He also asked, could you have Eli's abuelita declare that she's sick of these motherfucking snakes in this motherfucking jungle? I don't know why she's in the jungle.
I don't know.
Then he says, if it doesn't hurt Eli's feelings.
We have never once given a shit.
Now that I've said this.
About Eli's feelings.
If it doesn't hurt Eli's feelings.
Yeah.
I love the fact that my grandma is a character now.
A,
yes.
I am so sleepy. B, I am sick of all these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
Jungle.
Richie Valens is sitting next to me, and the plane is going to crash. I'm so sleepy.
Hey guys, it's me, the Big Bopper.
Zippity pop doo bow. Crash.
Cool. I gotta go.
Crash. Meow.
Thanks, John Denver.
Whatever. He also posted some links. He says, what about this manifesto you keep teasing? Okay, assuming this goes up, let's say Tuesday-ish, Monday-ish, it's probably already on the site.
Friday.
Yeah, so whatever. Next question. I can't look at your links right now because we have too many things to go over. Aaron, if you could have Joss Whedon resurrect one spinoff project from the Buffyverse, what would it be? Nerds of Doom, the show.
I still want Faith. I need my Faith, strong female Slayer. Character to hold on to.
Well, wait for him to make something else. Oh, watch Dollhouse. It's going to be Faith minus vampires.
It'll be enough.
It'll be great. Faith, you know, it was going to be, I think I mentioned this on the site earlier, it's going to be Faith and Spike on a motorcycle going from town to town fighting vampires. When that didn't get made, they made Supernatural, which is essentially that, minus Faith and Spike. Spike was going to be a ghost for the first half of the show, too. Yeah, that would have been awesome. Go do that, Joss. Do two shows with Elijah Dushku at the same time.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Ready? On 3, 2, 1, go. Make that movie.
Aaron follows up with that. Neil Patrick Harris dream project. What would it be and who would star in it? It's Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
It's kind of happening.
He's already doing it right now. He can't improve on it.
Even the music agrees here.
Yeah, it's got the captain. It's got everything. Troy. Troy has three questions. Troy says, Joel, is there any job you haven't done? What's the longest period of time you've kept down a job?
Porn fluffer.
For a long time. By now you know.
I do that for free.
I've already announced on the site by now, since I'm speaking in time travel, that this is my job now. So look out me. Look out mortgage. Here I come.
Look out government.
Longest job I've had was the one that I just recently left. I was there over 4 years. And most of my other jobs, none lasted over a year. Many of them 3 to 6 months. Is there any job I haven't done? No. I was a fireman. I was the president. I was a tank. I was...
That's not a job.
I don't know. I was a transformer.
Sweet.
Treebeard, he says, Troy. Treebeard, do you get morning wood or does morning wood get you? Boom, boom, psst. There's no answer to that question. Eli, have you tightened up the graphics on level 3?
Actually, as a matter of fact, on Friday I was.
You weren't tightening up the graphics on level 3?
That is what he does do.
That's what I do.
Which one is level 3? I don't even remember the names of any of that shit anymore.
You probably can't say at this point.
Yeah, we can. There's no reason you can't.
It is Prologue.
How is that level 3?
That sounds exciting.
How is Prologue level 3? Shouldn't that be level 1?
It's the third fucking thing on the menu.
Nah, hey, shut up.
If you tell me something's called Prologue, I'm buying that shit.
Prologue.
Bang, bang.
You heard
guns,
it here first,
Prologue.
Folks. Level 3. Highway,
Josh,
Prologue.
Question from Troy. Okay. Want to go camping?
Whoa.
I don't know.
ASL?
Yeah.
Where are we going with that?
I don't know.
I do not have enough information to
maybe
safely
you should
answer
look
that
up
question.
Josh on the internet and find his personal contact info. It's out there is all I'm saying.
Creepy.
It's out there.
If you're hot.
Sarcastodon, who has probably my favorite name of any of the commenters.
Wow, Sarcastodon?
I love that.
That's
I love
fantastic.
That. I want to have a band called Sarcastodon. Any suggestions for good sci-fi
ska.
Books? Any suggestion for good sci-fi? Pick it up! No, that's not ska. No.
Sci-fi books?
Sci-fi books, or do we only do TV, movies, and comics? We don't know how to read.
The only thing that I've read in like the last 10 years is Harry Potter.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
I read comics because of the pictures.
Yeah.
Figure it all out.
You make up stories on your own.
And then the Hulk said,
I actually only read Hulks because there's fewer words.
Yeah. The Hulk looks angry. He probably has to go take a dump.
Hey, I'll tell you my favorite sci-fi book, which somebody commented earlier isn't a sci-fi book. It's fantasy. I don't agree. Is The Martian Chronicles by Ray Bradbury. I love that. I'll tell you why. It spans like 400 years. Love that shit. Number two is spacemen go to Mars, and Martians are telepathic. And so the fact that humans show up, they just think they're crazy Martians projecting crazy thoughts and put them in an insane asylum. That's awesome.
Swish.
Boosh. Fail.
I don't know. I read, like, I think the last one I was reading was by Keane. City of the Dead and Dead Rising, which is more like zombie, I guess, stuff. I mean, I'll read whatever. So that was good.
A new commenter says, this is from Frack Truck. New commenter Frack Truck says, April Fool's Day is fast approaching. Any antics from your collective past? I've never been a very good April Fool's pranker.
Josh and I booshed the whole office.
How'd that go?
With Pitch
which
Monkey?
Time? Oh,
the Matrix.
Yeah, that was actually, it was well done.
It was an elaborate. If nobody's seen the
This was Rick Rolling before that it was known as Rick Rolling.
Yeah, it's the sending out the video of the monkey drinking his own urine from his own pee pee.
That's old school.
Yeah, it is old school, but you know. It got down to the point where, people knew the size of the file, so they said if they saw that, and you're like...
If it's 3.37 megs,
Yeah, it's like two chicks making out, and then you know, looking at the file size, you're like, no, that's a urinating monkey who's going to drink his own urine.
It got to the point where, like, we're re-encoding the file in different formats, and, like, scaling
everything
it,
we can do...
Everything we can do to mask whatever the source could have
so
been.
So what Josh and I did was... I think the Matrix, the second one?
The day before they were supposed to premiere the Matrix Reloaded trailer for the first time, and everybody
when
the
we were still enthusiastic.
Waiting.
Right. Yeah, when we didn't know any better. And we edited the beginning of the Warner Brothers thing.
Yeah,
and
from the first Matrix trailer, all the logos are all Matrix fired.
Woo! And when, the way we did it was I sent a mock email to Josh and said, dude, I found it. Here it is. And then he sent that to the company. So they look like one chain of like, it's been forwarded, so it's legit.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then we open it, everybody clicked on it, yeah! And then we're actually playing the...
that music was dubbed as the monkey's drinking his own urine.
That's awesome.
And then we're like, yay!
Was that actually on April Fool's?
I think it was like around midnight.
It was around that time.
It was on April Fool's, but we did it like about 12:30, 12:45, 1 in the morning. So that it would be at your desk the next day on April Fool's.
I'll tell you why I've never done an April Fool's prank. Who's not expecting a prank on April Fool's Day?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to pull it off now.
I mean, Jesus. I'll tell you my favorite one. He comes back on April 1st. He's like, guess what? Gotcha.
Islam was right all along. Yeah. And then he vanishes.
Later. Peace. Not really coming back. Fuck you guys.
I'd prefer to be called Allah. Thanks.
One of the best April Fool's pranks I saw was, you know how ThinkGeek redoes their whole store on April Fool's?
Yeah.
I liked when they did the Will Wheaton operating system. I thought it was funny. Wheatonics?
I don't remember that
at all. It was a recursive anagram. Wheatonics has everything a nerd could want, including X or something like that. Like, I can't remember the exact wording.
That's dumb. Now, they did have that little 8-bit pixel tie thing
that
they ended up making because it was awesome. If I ever wore a tie, I would buy that.
Reader Cash, unfortunately, has links and not questions. So I
canceled.
We're coming up close on being out of time. So I will. I'm sorry. I love you.
We'll think about it for the next one.
He does have a really interesting link, though. Turn that down. God damn.
It's actually not all that
really loud to me. He did give a good link, though, about the guy that was trying to shoot a hole through his house.
Yeah, I saw that. I absolutely love that.
That killed his wife. Your goddamn satellite dish can't get him. Hole. Let me get my gun. Oh, wife's dead.
It was actually the second shot that killed her.
Yeah, that's great.
He was trying to make a hole in the wall by shooting it with a gun.
Well, he tried to drill first, but the drill didn't work. So
was he trying to get
a
spin on the bullet? Like, was it like a serrated bullet to make a drill hole?
I don't know. Yeah. The question was, did he get the satellite installed?
Yeah, well, was the installation successful?
Yeah. Is he watching his high-def DirecTV right now?
Well, that's he doesn't have a wife to nag him to, like, watch cooking.
Two birds, one stone.
There you go. He can watch whatever the fuck he wants
swish.
Now.
DirecTV for the win.
No more Desperate Housewives.
Wadmossi.
Or housewife at all.
Yeah, no more housewife, period. Wadmossi asks, I'm not sure if this has been answered before. What was the first hijink that ensued among the three of you? I do not remember meeting Josh other than you being ever present at the college I was at.
Okay, shortly after college, going over to Wes's house, and I know you were there because Wes gave me that flat panel monitor.
You came with Mikey.
Yeah, and you were pissed. You were because you were living there, and he gave me the monitor and not you.
That was a point of contention.
Yes. I think that counts as
it
a hijink.
No, I've met you several times. Oh, that was a hijink.
That was a hijink, though.
Oh, no. Then the first hijink was going over to your apartment where you live with the liar the vagina worshiper.
Yeah.
And you showed us Riccio for the first time.
Actually, I think that counts.
That's
that was,
number one.
That
because
number
I also
one.
Bought a guitar for a taco.
Was that for a taco?
Mm-hmm.
Did you buy me Taco Bell for that?
Josh had a guitar that was all beat up and stupid and cheap. It was like a $100 guitar. And I'm like, I need kind of a beat around guitar. And I was playing it. And he's like, I'll give it to you if you buy me some dinner. I was like, from where?
Yeah.
Taco Bell. Okay.
Let's do this.
Let's do this deal. How you feel about the dealio?
Do you still have that guitar?
It's in the room right there.
Oh,
was that when you
can
were
I have that back? I gave you Taco Bell.
No. It's just not worth it. It's not equivalent trade at this point.
God damn it.
It's worth at least
my fucking
lubies.
Vienna sausage fingers can't play anyway.
Whatever. That was hijink number one. I don't remember meeting Eli at all. You might have been at a movie. Matter of fact, the first time I hung out with you, I know for a fact, was it the first Pirates of the Caribbean. You were also beardless, which I have pictures from that night.
Weird.
Beard weird.
Wow.
As my beard's getting caught in this like fucking
pop screen on your
still mind. Getting caught in the pop screen.
Yeah. What kind of kilt, Serge says, what kind of kilt does Josh wear? If it's a utilikilt, what model? Bonus, if this one's answered in sexy German.
Oh, God. Oh, mein Gott. Shit. Scheiße. It is a utilikilt.
Das ist
ein utilikilt, ja. Das ist ein originalisch. It's the plain original one, and it's black.
What? Wait, whoa, you just broke the fantasy for me.
Oh, shit, I know.
Fuck.
Black. It's actually, I think German for black is Neger.
Hey, he also, whoa, didn't beep. Also,
like Schwarzenegger means black head.
Be quiet.
Or something.
Didn't mean black dick.
Or, no, Schwarzkopf. No, Schwartz is black, my bad.
Yeah, it's Schwartz. Yeah.
Whatever,
dude. I got it confused.
He also asked, you mentioned Akon, are you going? Or
yes.
I think I'm going to go this year.
I'm going to Akon, and I will be at the Dallas
Con. As a looker. I ain't going as a thing. I'm going as a looker on her.
Yeah. Dallas Akon.
I probably won't.
In May, yes.
Because Akon is the place where you don't go in costume. You transform into whatever you're supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah.
That shit scares me so much.
Fuck yeah.
And the Dallas,
I have my own
Dallas
Comic
Con
to
that are
next
weekend.
Radically different.
Zach also says, last question, does anybody watch The Big Bang Theory? No.
What?
It's a show. I've heard it mentioned. It's a show that's on a network.
I don't know.
Is it good? I don't know, Zach. Is it good? Comment back.
I don't believe in Jesus. I mean, I do that we've talked to him, but not in the... I believe in the Bang Theory, but...
He said they're
what?
Oh, the Big Bang Theory is why the Mexicans are chasing the emo kids.
Right.
Oh,
what?
Yeah.
Because they have the Big Bangs.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Jesus.
I don't know.
That's Jesus to you.
These in judo.
Okay, so
judo,
fade out that music there. We're gonna do our interview with Jonathan Riley, who Joss Whedon came to his house and filmed scenes for Dr. Horrible's sing along blog. Okay, I think we've got everybody on the line. We have got Jonathan Riley. Am I saying that right?
That is correct, Jonathan Riley.
Jonathan Riley, and
Jonathan.
Here on the Hijinks and Sue podcast, Jonathan has had the, I guess, unique experience of being contacted by Joss Whedon, or I guess Whedon's people.
The cool thing about that is one of my people is one of his people.
Oh, well, that's even better. You share people.
My friend Otto Pinzotto, best name ever.
Wow.
Otto Pinzotto is his assistant director. So
that's fantastic.
they were looking for. I mean, they.
Well, let's tell everybody why we're even talking to you.
Okay. It's all kinds of awkward.
Yeah,
oh,
no,
that's
okay. Cool. What we're doing is we kind of met Jonathan through a LiveJournal post, and one of his readers emailed it to me that I'm sure we're all familiar now with the fact that Joss Whedon is doing a musical that's going to debut somehow online called Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog, starring Nathan Fillion, the NPH, and I cannot remember that beautiful young lady's name from that
Felicia
show.
Day.
Say it again?
Felicia Day?
Felicia Day, yes, from The Guild, which is a YouTube show that's very popular. So anyway, that tells us what it is. Now, how do you fall into this whole production?
Well, Dr. Horrible, as Joss Whedon said, it's about a mad scientist. And they needed a location that would be suitable for someone who had turned their house into a mad scientist lair. This isn't somebody who had a castle.
Yeah, like a ghetto mad scientist lair.
Or an abandoned basement. They actually needed someone who had turned their house into a mad scientist lair. So they needed, you know, a place that looked like that and, you know, a couch and a computer. And, you know, they were doing this thing really on a shoestring, as it was explained to me that all the money for this show basically came out of Joss's pocket. This was his project
sure.
that he wanted to do, and so he would try to keep it as inexpensive as possible. And building a place would have been rather expensive. And so they were brainstorming, and my friend Otto says, well, I know a guy. And they're like, and I guess the response was, you're kidding, right?
How could you possibly know a guy who lives in a dungeon?
I actually know a guy who lives in a mad science. I prefer lair. Dungeon has totally different connotations here in Southern California.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah, it does.
Being that I live in the San Fernando Valley, the home of porn.
Right.
So, anyway, Otto contacted me, and he said, well, you know, I'm working on this thing, and it's for this guy named Joss Whedon. You know who he is. So inwardly, I'm squeeing.
Right.
And outwardly, I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, I know Serenity. I'm good.
Keep it cool.
I've heard his name.
And so he's like, well, we want to maybe use your house for a shoot. Can the location scout come by? Can I give him your number? I said, sure, Otto, no problem. Then I proceeded to go to Mexico for a few days, came back, and the location scout showed up. He walked in and was just blown away. He did a lot of, whoa. You mean it's like this all the time? Yes, it's like this all the time.
So briefly, why is your house a mad scientist lair?
There was a show on, I think, the TLC. It's called Monster House, along the same vein as Trading Spaces, where you leave your house and people come in and basically fuck it up for you, and you get to come back in and act surprised and happy. They put an ad on Craigslist, believe it or not, looking for people who are willing to have this done to their house. Back and forth, it's about a year later, they finally get back to me and said, hey, we're ready to do your house. What theme do you want? I said, well, I'm a mad scientist. How about something like that? And they went, that's perfect. I mean, during the day, I'm actually a biochemist and an engineer.
What are the biggest features? How exactly did they fuck up your house to your advantage?
Oh, man. Well, the smart home automation system is not that smart.
Like you flush the toilet and the garage opens. So you call TLC and they're like, we don't even do that show anymore. I need tech support.
Actually, we'd called Smart Home and the guys gave me some information that I needed. So they were helpful. Other part, something that they gave me that I actually enjoyed, is they gave me a Wonder Bar professional alcohol dispensing system.
They seem to give those to everybody towards the end of that show. They were
that and plasma TVs apparently.
And the Wonder Bar is where you like press a button for a mixed drink and then it just shoots out of a nozzle or something.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing you would have in a bar where you would have a reserve bar of, like, you know, all the well drinks, the upended bottles in the back, and you'd press a button and you would dispense one of six alcohols in whatever quantity you wanted.
Oh my god, I would kill myself with
that. God, it was so hard to be sober here for the first
time. I would be so dead
the time being drunk.
Here's a picture of it. It's quite
spin
insane.
Spin a wheel. You spin a wheel, and this big metal thing comes down. You can do the "It's Alive" cackle. You know, it's alive.
Oh, it's so it's on a platform. It's Drunkenstein.
It really is. And you press a button, and booze and Jack Daniels comes out of the sky.
That is what heaven.
So that's
like.
So that's your shower, basically.
You know, being an alcoholic, I approve of that.
Leave my private life out of this, okay?
Right. So your buddy Otto is in with Joss Whedon. He's in it. What, assistant director?
He's an assistant director.
Okay, so he knows you've got this crazy destruction lair, and yeah. Joss needs one.
And so he and Otto hooks it up on the photo shoot. Otto is the guy. I mean, not the photo shoot, on the actual day of the filming. Otto's the guy that makes sure everything happens on time. He makes sure that everyone's quiet. He makes sure that they, like, everyone be quiet. We're filming now. Or bring that in. Okay, set that up. Put
right.
that there. Okay, switching to this. So he's running everything. It's like the story about how do you know which guys are really working when the president's walking around? Which guys are Secret Service? They're the guys that are not looking at the president.
Right.
It's like, that's what Otto's doing. Otto's all business.
And he's not looking at Joss.
Everybody gets what they need. He's not looking at Joss. Don't look directly at Joss.
So
the
day of the filming then, so they bring in, I guess, truckloads of equipment and actors. And how was it all experience like?
I was pretty excited. One of my roommates actually forgot that that day was the day of the filming, and she was a little discombobulated. She was like, I just need to leave. There's so many people here. I'm in the way. I have to flee. So, and I mean, they showed up, and within a matter of 20 minutes, there was a generator truck. There was a rigging lighting truck. There was a large trailer with all the costumes in it and the costuming truck. Everything was set up, and craft services, like literally in 20 minutes, it was all in place.
Yeah, so they come in, and I know this is small production. So are the actors that we know of the only actors in this?
No.
So how many actors were there? So you've got Nathan Fillion, NPH, and...
Nathan Fillion wasn't here. This is Dr. Horrible's lair.
Is Neil Patrick Harris Dr. Horrible?
Neil Patrick Harris is Dr. Horrible.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sweet.
Nathan oh, that's right. Fillion, Nathan's Captain Hammer.
He is the Hammer.
Okay.
Captain Hammer.
Yeah.
So the
he'll always be tight pants to me.
He's Captain Tight Pants.
We see Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
We see his assistant or his sidekick, who's played by this guy named Simon, who was on like Man TV and some other stuff, and he was actually in Walk Hard. So he was in it, and then there were I think three or four other people who
Felicia
had
Day was there or no?
Cameras. Felicia Day was not there.
Okay.
So those are the people that were at my house.
And you're not, you know, we're certainly not going to ask you to go into any detail about, because we all want to be as surprised as anybody else. I mean, all being Big Whedon fans, we want to kind of experience this just like anybody else. But anything, you know, odd or Whedon-y happen
Whedon-y.
Yeah, anything particularly mutant enemy happened while you were there or while they were there?
No, I'm as big a geek as just about everybody else. I've got all the Buffys and the Serenity and I just saw him working and walking around and doing his thing. It was pretty cool.
Were they actually filming musical moments and like is there dancing or I mean
they were filming musical moments.
Wow.
And, I so cannot yeah, it was wait pretty for cool. this.
It hurts me that I haven't seen this. Like, I want to see it so bad.
My spirit fingers are twitching.
It's coming. It's coming. It's breathing hard. I know, but of course, he got done with this, and he had, like, maybe a day off, and then went right into Dollhouse. So he's a busy guy.
Oh, yeah, because they just started production on that, so that's...
Right, so he has. I mean, the guy had that I haven't slept enough look.
But it's... So this, as far as we know, this is like kind of a one-off internet thing. I mean, I guess we're guessing maybe a handful of internet episodes or...
It's supposed to be episodic content. I guess he was kind of inspired by the cool stuff that Felicia was doing at the Guild and wanted to be able to put together content that was for the web that was good.
Yeah.
That didn't look like something that you saw on YouTube. Right? Quality wise.
So, right.
I mean, a full production crew.
It goes without saying that he understands his fan base, but I mean, he really understands his fan base. Like he really knows what his particular geeks are looking for. And I think everybody's just as excited as anything else to see this. Plus we all just devour any content he can produce anyway. So
I would suspect that if Joss Whedon wasn't producing this content, he would be watching it with the rest of us.
Right. And okay. So did you get any conversation time with him? Or were you pretty much in the background or?
A little bit. I realized they were there to work, and I was just the guy who had this crazy house.
Now, you might have been like the owner of the set they just happened to be leasing for that day or whatever. So
Right. And so I did my best to stay out of the way. One of the conversations I had was, okay, guys, I realize that you want to be respectful that this is my house, but I am the only guy here that isn't actually working. I'm the guy that has no experience on a film crew. So if I need to stand somewhere else, just tell me. You know, be polite. Be like, hey, please move over here. And I'm not going to get offended that you're telling me what to do in my own house.
And the whole time you're holding a Serenity DVD and a Sharpie.
Actually, I didn't get anything signed by him on purpose.
No.
I got a picture taken. But
just
I didn't,
bumping
really,
into
honestly,
him, handing him DVDs over and over. Oh, sorry.
Honestly, I'm not that fanboy. I mean, I don't freak out about it. I've been around other people, and I realize they're just people, and they're trying to do their job. And I guess I've noticed that it can kind of go two ways, that people who get famous, they go narcissistic, and they can't get enough people worshiping them. Then they eventually believe their own press, and then they cease to really be human beings.
Then they're Tyra Banks.
Yeah. Or you have the people who are just kind of being cool, and they realize they made something that's popular, and they have to kind of be careful around folks who feel like they've developed some type of connection through them because of their work. right?
And which we all feel it on one side, but if you're respectful enough to realize there's absolutely no way they could feel it too. Like it doesn't matter how much of a connection I think I have with Joss Whedon, he would never have any idea who I was or any of that.
No, exactly. It just comes down to, like, they were just really cool people. Like, Neil Patrick Harris was like, "Hey, I'm Neil." And I'm like, of course my response is to say, "I know that."
Please tell me you called him Doogie.
Hey, I'm Dustin. How's it going? You know.
He comes in and you're typing on a blue screen like DOS prompt, a journal, and you're like, "Beep, boom, boom,
exactly.
boom."
Exactly. "Dear boom, boom. Journal.
Dear NPH is here. Exactly. It was the best day ever."
It was really cool. I mean, the part about seeing the really human moments when, like, he was in every scene. I mean, that's what he did.
Did Whedon direct this directly? Whedon was the director?
Oh, no, Whedon directed directly. He was, like, literally going out into the little video village, they call it, where it's all dark and they can see the screen. And they walk in through my sliding glass door that doesn't work nearly well enough and, like, say, "No, try it like this."
So, yeah, was there anything particular about his style that was impressive or just different?
I don't really have a frame of reference as for would it be different, except that he was just really – he was really friendly. There was no yelling. There was, "Try it like this. Ooh, try it like that." And then he would say, "Say that word like this," and like, "Oh, okay, cool." And they do like 5 or 6 or 8 or 2 takes.
Be funnier,
right?
Try. I like the idea of seeing the how it works, like the nuts and bolts of it. Like,
sure.
When they film a scene, they would say, "Okay, everyone's on one side of the room," and they film all the close-ups for all the scene for one character, and then they move the other side and film the close-ups for the other character from the other angle.
Yeah, kind of bust the illusion because it's totally disjointed and out of order, and yeah, that's got to be odd. But they got to move 1,000-pound cameras every time they change something. So
yeah, but I got to see him do it like 50 times. It was cool.
So they're out of your house then. They finish in the day. Is that it for, as far as you know, is that it for Dr. Horrible? I mean, are they done?
I don't know. I mean, they haven't done this. If he puts it out and becomes incredibly popular and the public's clamoring for more, and it looks like I imagine there's a reason to do more aside from just boredom, if there's, like, money. Like, "Oh, look, we can actually make money with this."
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, they're perfectly welcome to come back. I had a great experience.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Is like, I mean, they've established that you're Dr. Horrible's makeshift lair. They're either going to say, "My old lair burned down. Now I'm in this new Hollywood studio lair." or they're going to have to call you back and, you know, come do another day, which I guess you'd be up for.
I'd totally be up for.
That sounds really
again,
cool.
Again, see the little human moments. Like, Neil Patrick Harris, they needed a place. He just needed a place to chill. And I didn't realize that I needed to clean my room up. So all of a sudden it was, "Hey, we need to use your room." And I'm freaking out because my room is covered in crap because I'm a boy and I'm a slob like
that. It's covered in biochemistry.
No, you flush those.
Okay.
So I'm throwing everything out, throwing things into my office, and I'm cleaning it up and I'm making it nice and nice-ish, you know, as much as I can. And he just hangs out in my room. I mean, he's chilling. He's taking a nap. I'm walking in. He's taking a nap on my bed. I'm sneaking in. Get on the computer. Like, he's napping on my bed.
Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris is drooling on your pillow. That's interesting.
No, he was very calm. And he's just a dude. I mean, he's really cool. He was relaxed and working and just he was really friendly. He's not one of those people where everything went to their head. And you know, you see people sitting there furiously texting away on their iPhone because he's having a conversation with someone, just like we would be.
Right.
Just like iPhones.
Yeah, you'd hate to over like aggrandize everything he does. Like, Neil Patrick Harris is eating a sandwich like a human.
He
went to the bathroom like a mortal.
Oh my God! He's got.
They walk like us and they talk like us. Like, wow.
Yeah. No, it was just.
They do, I mean, Roman Hurd.
Yeah, I just enjoy the connection with people, just being people. Right.
That's really cool, and I think you've probably had a singularly excellent geek experience there, because not only having your house transformed into a evil lair, and then to have it sort of come back and bite you in the ass in a good way, and that Joss Whedon hears about it. Did they give you any sense of when it's going to be viewable, or they're just kind of working on it as they go?
Not at all. I don't even think they know. They know they had to get it in the can, and they have to edit it.
Jonathan, the whole experience just sounds fantastic.
It was great. I heard all the music. The costumes were fantastic.
And I'm sure
I got to help like set props because I mean they needed some science stuff, and I'm like, well, I realize you don't have very much. Here's a box of science glasses.
Awesome beakers
and
bullshit.
Like, wow, you've got all this. I'm like, yeah. You need more.
It's in my garage.
It's like my closet in college, only with more beakers and less circuit boards.
It is.
Well, you know, to wrap it up, then, last question, are you going to possibly be in Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog?
Oh, they actually absolutely put me in it. Oh,
awesome. Cool. I hate you.
They put me in it. There was a kind of a montage at the end, and there was a scene, and they like, well, and they were something from the beginning. They said, hey, we want you to be in this. And at one point, they wanted me to, I have a lot of different costumes for different costume parties, and I have like a supervillain costume. They said, well,
awesome.
Wear that. And I said, that's great.
You're just so way too prepared for this whole experience.
Dude. So I put it on, and they're like, you can't wear that. I'm like, what's wrong? I'm like, well, it's the exact same kind of mad scientist outfit that Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, you're overshadowing.
It's also better.
I've got the mad scientist coat. I've got like the frock coat that buttons down the side.
It's like Beakman's world.
And goggles. I mean, I've got all the stuff, and literally, item for item, I am wearing what he's wearing, a different version of it, but it's like a different, you know, lower rent version of what he's wearing.
Right.
Because, you know, I made it, so there's some, and one of my and my friends sewed it together instead of some professional costume designer. But literally, they're like, you're the it's like showing up to the party wearing the same dress as the host or hostess.
How often does that happen to you?
You can't get away with that. So right. I had to go scramble, and I wound up putting on like a, this like really bright and shiny purple suit, and I was
which you also had in the back of the closet.
I have a select.
That's awesome. I mean, the whole experience. There's no downside to that. Plus, you go down in Whedon canon for ages to come.
I made it into a little Joss Whedon blog thing, and they really did that just to say thank you. And they
that's awesome. I mean, the whole
the
thing
words they used were okay, and then Neil Patrick Harris, you're gonna walk by him and you know greet him,
punch
in
him in the face.
We think he's important.
Like, punch him right in the face.
It was fantastic.
Well, dude, that's awesome. We're gonna wrap it up, and I really appreciate you being on the show. Anybody, check the links to the show notes to see Jonathan's pictures of his house and kind of his account of the whole story. You can get some information on the unofficial blog at drhorrible.net, I believe. If I'm wrong, I'll fix it in the notes. And keep an eye out for Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog from Joss Whedon, starring Nathan Fillion, Neil Patrick Harris, and Felicia Day, and Jonathan Riley in the super guest cameo. Yay! All right, Jonathan, thanks for being on the show. We appreciate it, man.
It was a pleasure, guys.
And then that's going to end the show. Hey, great show, everybody.
Yeah, I thought it went really well.
I thought it was great.
Yeah. Good times.
Sure wish we had some music.
Yeah.
That's abrupt.
Wow, that's... It was so jarring.
This is too jaunty.
No.
This is kind of
friendly sounding.
No, it's killing my mellow.
The last one was a little jarring. A little harsh.
This is harsh in my mellow. Can you...
Wait, is this in French?
Nonsense. Hang on a minute.
Why are we listening
Eddie,
in French?
Eddie in the control room, can you find some peaceful music for us to end our show?
You funny? Hold on, Eddie's looking.
Eddie, are you there? Is Eddie on drugs again?
He might be. Well, you know, Eddie is short for Eduardo.
Is this
so
getting louder?
Is.
This is hurting my ears. This is ruining my life.
Hang on a minute.
Hang on.
Eddie's not fucking. Eddie's not in the
Eddie.
Union.
Oh. Eddie, could you not use the
and
language?
Eddie is pissed.
You're hurting my ears in Eddie. My headphones. There.
Jesus,
that's,
Eddie.
Man, so if I hadn't fucking met up with that guy, I would have been in the Union by now.
Eddie.
Wait, what?
This is nonsense. What? Hang on. I'm getting
can
some
we get our
outro
can we
pay
music?
You at all?
Getting some fucking...
Can we get our outro music? Really good show. Excellent show.
Fuck. All right. Here's your
language.
Here's your nonsense.
We can't talk like that. Oh, that's
there we go.
That
okay.
Is
nice.
That's groovy.
Some smooth jazz there.
I like to have dirty sex to this kind of music.
I do too.
Angry sex.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll say, damn it.
I will curse. I will... Hey guys, I'm back. Eddie's gone.
Eddie's...
What
Eddie,
happened?
I had Eddie leave the room.
He was angry.
He was.
I'm sorry.
It's all that
Did
Red Bull.
Did you not expect this to be...
I was not expecting Depeche Mode.
I almost fell out of my chair.
You, Eddie, been drinking way too many Red Bull.
You know, I will drink a Red Bull before angry sex to violence.
It helps. It does.
Because you want to get your heart rate above 120 beats a minute.
You want to mix that Red Bull with vodka so that your inhibitions are lower, so you're more likely to beat your partner.
Well, you want to blind yourself to the pain and let the rage take over.
I actually use it as a lubricant.
I mean, if you're
sure.
If you don't
That's a tip. Hang on, that's this week's handy household tip. Ginger ale and Red Bull.
Or Red Bull.
As a lubricant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There he is.
Good times.
Hey, I think Keith Pizza's here.
Keith Pizza's here.
Oh, is he back? Yeah. Did somebody order?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus is, yeah.
Anyway, this show is dedicated to the memory of Jesus. Yeah. Come back soon.
God is dead. May he rest in peace.